Chapter 18. Anastasia. Veronica slowly opened her eyes. Her hazy vision didn't clear after she blinked a few times. When it came into focus, it triggered her nightmarish attack in the alley. She recalled the vivid attack and her rescue by the demon woman she and Sean had seen in Blind Bluff Manor.
Sean. She lifted her head from two satin pillows. Still attempting to focus her sight, she raised her body slowly, placing her feet on the edge of the bed. She touched her neck and felt the two puncture wounds covered by a cotton bandage.
A cold breeze blew in from a paned window covered with maroon drapes. She shivered and rushed across the room and closed the window, watching the movements of the drapes slowly come to a stop. Maroon wallpaper with gold-etched designs of baby dragons covered the walls from the ceiling to the floor. A small chandelier with four electric candles hung from the ceiling. An old captain's chair, also decorated with gold dragon designs, and a Japanese soju screen sat across the room in the corner. On the captain's chair rested a black shirt and large black pants that Veronica immediately dressed in. She stood in front of a long mirror, leaning against the wall next to the soju screen. She peeled back the bandage, viewing the puncture wounds on her neck. She moaned in relief, but this was far from over. She needed to find out how she got here and where here was. She pulled on the handle to the only door in the room, but it didn't budge. She heard small footsteps of someone pacing back and forth outside the door. She heard a click, and the door swung gently open. No one was there. She looked behind her and jumped, bemused to find an African-American teenage girl. The girl stared back at her with arms crossed. Her brown eyes slowly studied Veronica from head to toe. Dressed in tight-fitting black jeans and a white tank top, she brushed her shoulder-length dreadlocks over her shoulders.
"So, you're the human everyone's talking about."
Veronica stepped back. At first, she feared the team, suspecting her to be a demon. But wasn't it against their dictum to sire someone at that age?
"I was told that," the girl tapped the side of her head. "I can hear ya, you know."
She caught herself and covered her mouth, not like it was talking that placed her in her predicament.
"I'm Holly, by the way."
The demon teen plopped onto Veronica's bed. She rubbed her fingers over the cover's smooth fabric.
"You hungry? I can make you something."
Veronica respectfully declined. "Where am I?"
"Blind Bluff Manor."
She breathed a sigh of relief, now knowing she was in Blind Bluff Manor, and astonished to see that Remy and the mysterious woman weren't the only demon in the sanctuary.
"How did I get here?"
"Are you sure you aren't hungry?" she asked again, ignoring the question. "I make a mean peanut butter and jelly sandwich."
"No, I'm fine. Where's Nathan?"
"Damn, you're needy." Again, Holly ignored Veronica's question. She stood up and began to straighten the black sheets.
"Here for the study."
Dim chandeliers, separated every 50 feet or so on the ceiling with electric candles, gave an almost eerie glow to the hallway. Veronica couldn't help but notice the decorative artifacts sealed behind unbreakable glass coffins and embedded in small square crevasses in the walls. Scrolls still tightened and rolled in their ancient fit. Small pottery shards from ancient excavations, swords, books, paintings, personal jewelry. Mummified insects and mummified Egyptian cats filled the crevasses. All of it reminded her of her mother, and that still she felt nowhere near close to solving her disappearance. She continued to the closed doors ahead with paned windows tinted to keep the sunlight out. She turned the corner, viewing the edge of a huge staircase. She looked back to see if Hallie had followed her. Satisfied, she descended down the stairs. What she saw amazed her. The steep staircase covered with a thick red carpet led to the first floor and to a huge exhibit, a collection that possibly rivaled that of historical museums. An artistic painting of an Italian city covered the wall, and it blended with a scenic route of an ancient Roman road. At the bottom of the stairs to her left, a bright white light materialized from Nathan's study.
She saw Hallie standing in front of the fireplace and the portrait of Queen Elizabeth. She moved quickly. Veronica walked past the Roman statues and approached the room quietly, again noticing the large, shaded lamps sat in the corners and the granite ceiling. Nathan sat near the fireplace on a leather couch. Across from him was the mysterious demon woman who saved her in the alley. They both turned, watching as Veronica entered the room. The woman's eyes remained glued on her. She wore a long black dress with dark hair twirled into a tight bun fixed on the back of her head. A black scarf wrapped around her neck with its excess laying across her right shoulder. Her dark brown eyes, which helped her intimidating stare, remained fixed. She looked to be an ancient demon who had seen her share of brutality. Veronica quickly turned back to Nathan, who stood up from his chair and smiled.
"Javi told me you weren't hungry," he said.
Veronica nodded. "It's good to see that you're doing well."
"How long have I been out?"
She leaned against the wall, still feeling the demon's tantalizing stare from her peripheral. "Overnight. You're lucky that Anastasia found you in time." He looked over to the woman, who slowly turned her attention to him.
"Anastasia."
She rubbed the bandage on her neck. "Thank you." Anastasia didn't respond.
"I feel like I bruised a couple of ribs."
Veronica rubbed the side of her body.
"Who was she, the one that attacked me?"
"She was one of the Hartley sisters. I believe you met her older sister before." Nathan stood up from his chair. "They frequent a dark sepulcher, but that's all past now." She remembered what the demon said before her fangs burrowed in her neck. She had a history with Anastasia, a history that she became curious about.
"They attacked you earlier, and it was also Anastasia who thwarted them off that time."
She looked back to the mysterious woman, who now stared straight ahead at the wall. She didn't care what motivated the demon woman to save her both times, but only thought about the idea of being protected, and she knew it wasn't stereotypical behavior of the demon. She began to wonder if living in a sanctuary with a human had anything to do with Anastasia's human-like judgment.
"Your cell phone was destroyed in the attack," Nathan continued. "She managed to salvage what she could. Veronica, you have to understand the importance of Sean's activities and how his relationship with you has caused Lambert to lose his trust."
"I understand," Veronica interrupted him. "I'm completely aware of it."
"Are you?" Anastasia's comment caused them to turn their attention to her. Suddenly, Veronica heard the demon's voice inside her head. "Don't confuse my act of kindness to be in your favor."
"Yes," Veronica immediately recounted her thought about Anastasia. "It's just not stereotypical of a demon to..." She quickly glanced at Anastasia's, whose eyes now locked onto Nathan.
"This sanctuary isn't a stereotypical sanctuary," he said, "but here it is."
Veronica made a mental note. There had to be a reason behind why Nathan chose to have Demon in his home, but that would have to wait. She wanted to get back to Palm Oaks, and now.
"I have to get back to my apartment."
"I don't think that's a wise thing to do."
"Well, I can't stay here forever. I'm not afraid. I know the dangers."
Holly yawned. "That's what all the humans say." She kept the mantle on the fireplace. "Until they get attacked again."
"You're still a little weak, and your apartment is not a safe place to be," Nathan said. "Nita was being in a house with Demon, but she saw no choice." Anastasia's cold stare made her feel unwelcomed. She felt no one, not even Nathan, trusted her.
"There's no place in Minneapolis that's safe for me," she responded.
"Of course." He rose from his chair and walked over to the other side of the room and reached for his phone. "Are you sure?"
Veronica nodded, and she watched him dial a number and place the phone to his ear. She continued to lean against the wall, and she waited. The sound of the wood crackling in the fireplace became the only prevalent noise in the room. She looked at Hallie, catching the teen's blank stare. Her eyes grew stark like Anastasia, Again, she felt the presence of not being wanted in Blind Bluff Manor.
"I've called for a taxi." Nathan hung up the phone. "Holly, would you excuse us?"
"Doesn't matter. I can hear you anyway."
This time, she capped her ear.
"You know, that's what demon do."
Anastasia's head abruptly turned to Holly, and their eyes locked. Veronica didn't know why they stared each other down, but Anastasia won, and Holly huffed.
"I never get to have fun around here."
She stormed out of the room.
"Sorry about that." Macon slowly walked over to Veronica.
"Holly is a new demon, just recently turned. She's still getting used to her new life as a Matuspa. The cab should be here soon.
I'd like to wait outside if that's okay."
He nodded and unlocked the front door. He opened it slowly and she stepped out into the cool air. Small patches of ice stippled the mansion's long driveway. It glittered in the moonlight. In the western horizon, the sun had just set and the remaining orange and yellow hues covered the lower half of the sky. Reflection from the recent sunset helped showcase the open areas of land surrounding Blind Bluff Manor. Even the frozen pond in front couldn't escape its beauty.
"Why a sanctuary?" she questioned.
He closed the door behind him and walked past her. Blind Bluff Manor was never meant to be a sanctuary. He bent forward, picking up a small reddish pebble from the ground. He examined it before tossing it to join the other gravel on the road.
"It was a place to store my research. A place where I could still observe the demon without interfering."
"Why not leave Minneapolis and go to a bigger city that has a large amount of demon, like New York or Los Angeles?"
"This is my home."
"You must do a lot of research."
He nodded.
"When I have the time." Using the railing as support, he carefully stepped down the steps and onto the driveway. "As I've mentioned before, my parents were once members. You understand how growing up in a family with a connection to the Brotherhood can become complicated. Unlike you, I actually loved participating in the exploration of the demon. The more time I spent learning the ropes, the more I began to notice the true reason behind the organization, and I felt as if I understood the demon a little more." They walked across the road into a small one-lane path that crisscrossed through his entire front driveway. "I knew that deciding to stay in Minnesota after the chapter disbanded was a risky move, but I didn't want to go back to California. Not with them. Why would I? They had kicked my family out of the organization, therefore I was out as well." He continued with his spiel. "Being here is what fuels me, but I'm okay to have found this home to suit my needs. It was built as a farm home in the late 1800s. I remodeled it, added some new rooms, and called it Blind Bluff Manor, after a small cabin getaway my parents had in the forest."
They passed a small wooden bench covered with a thick blanket of snow. She became exceedingly curious about why any demon would come to a human, besides the desire to feed. She also wanted to know what eventually happened to his parents, but that was a question for another day.
She lowered her voice. "How did you manage to get demon staying here? Aren't you scared they're going to turn on you?"
"No, there isn't a reason to. They came here to me on their own."
Her body shivered again while she struggled to maintain her warmth.
"At Thug's Sepulcher, you said the woman following you was a minion?"
Veronica nodded.
"I think maybe she's a researcher."
She didn't want to speculate that the minion belonged to Kai, but he was the only demon that had any reason to be interested in her.
"Well, researchers are easier to find than minions, and I doubt she's a researcher. But I honestly don't know. Nowadays, minions are everywhere. They're dangerous than their owners in certain situations."
"I guess this whole mean being protected thing doesn't apply to them?"
"It applies. Only if their demon owners wanted to. There are many demon in the city, Either they are loyal to Kai or they hate him. He pointed to his left wrist. Kai sends out his minions, and they're willing to do whatever for him. He pretended to draw an image on his wrist. Many of them have a brand or a tattoo that signals that they belong to him. Watching Nathan draw his imaginary tattoo signaled something in her brain. It only took seconds to realize she had seen it before. She didn't want to believe it. Not him. It couldn't be. "You've seen it?" Nathan questioned. She nodded, still trying to mentally reestablish the image. "Sean?" "No," she quickly answered. She came to a grisly realization. The scenario, the egregious signs that she ignored. She felt mindless to find out only now. Sean did mention Murphy's quirky behavior and how he was always there when she left or came back to her apartment. "What is it?" "It's not Sean, it's someone else."
"Who?"
"I have to get back to my apartment." Veronica looked at him. "Now."
"Is it someone you know?"
They heard the rough noise of a car engine in the near distance. Macon hurried back to the front porch. He pressed a button on his voice box to open the gate.
"Anastasia could accompany you. You're still weak from your attack."
"I just need to make sure Sean's not there." She didn't trouble herself with the possibility of her apartment swarming with minions belonging to Kai. They watched the yellow taxi make its way down the gravel road and slowly come to a stop. "I just need to make sure he's okay."
"Veronica,
I have to make sure." Her mind laced. Any possibility that Murphy was responsible for Sean's disappearance. It troubled her, and it made her mind jump to sordid thoughts.
"You shouldn't go back to your apartment alone," Nathan suggested again. "Let Anastasia go with you. She can protect you."
"Would she?" Veronica doubted.
"Yes, she would."
He searched through the pockets and pulled out a small cell phone. "If you find Sean, you both should come back and stay here for the night." He handed her the phone.
"Are you sure you want to go by yourself?"
"No." She wasn't sure of anything, except for finding Sean.
The consequences of going back alone, especially with Murphy being a minion and Sean working for the Brotherhood, didn't cross her mind. The taxi pulled up in front of the door, and she quickly jumped in, not looking back at Nathan as the car drove down the gravel road. Nathan sighed, knowing that there was nothing he could do but let her go on her own. When the taxi was out of distance, he turned back, seeing Anastasia standing in the doorway.
"She shouldn't have left on her own," he said solemnly.
Barefoot, Anastasia stepped on the snow and it crushed beneath her feet.
"The snow is rough today." Her soft voice carried in the air. She looked at her feet. A brief gust of cool wind lifted her long black dress. "I want to explore it." She stepped forward and she took at her head slightly.
"Would you like me to follow her instead?"
"I've never asked you to do anything that you don't want to do." He looked at her. "However, I am asking you to do this."
"You can't make me do anything I don't want to do." She adjusted the red scarf around her neck.
"Of course."
He waited for her next move. Living with Demon long enough, he quickly learned that haste wasn't a viable demon trait. But Anastasia wasn't like any demon he knew or researched about. Somehow, over centuries, she relearned trust and loyalty. After hearing about Lucius's disappearance, she arrived in Minneapolis and made her way to Blind Bluff Manor, thinking that the Brotherhood, he specifically, was behind it. With her hands wrapped around his throat and her fangs extended, he opened his mind to her in trust and as a favor, she spared his life. Besides sensing resentment for her own kind and the Brotherhood, he also saw her loyalty for Lucius. She would lay down her life for him without a thought, and she hated Kay as much as most demon hated him. However, she didn't have the following to kill him, but she had the age and strength. Since then, she remained at Blind Bluff Manor,
She was the first demon to live in his home, and the only demon Nathan trusted at that time.
She's in danger, Anastasia.
She's a hard-headed woman. But if I do follow her, you know what I might have to do.
He nodded.
There will be killing in Maul. A faint smile appeared on her face.
I know.
She took two steps, and in demon speed she ran down the gravel road, disappearing from his sight.